listening on 710 WOR.
And good morning to you all on a Thursday morning. Michael Riedel, we survived another blizzard.
The fourth one. Thank you. The fourth one this March, I believe. The fourth nor'easter. We did survive it. I got home, had my swim after the show yesterday. I went home and I sat on the couch, watched the snowfall, and I binged watched an old BBC series called Pie in the Sky.
And what's that about?
With a wonderful actor, Richard Griffiths, who plays a police detective who owns a restaurant because what he loves is cooking. And he's in the kitchen all the time.
That
making
sounds great.
Fabulous.
Cop cooking. Gee, could I watch that show?
It's a great series. I'm telling you, Pie in the Sky. And they, you know, the police department keeps using him because he's the best detective on the squad. But what I love is he gives you the recipes, the cooking, he drinks the wine. It was the most relaxing thing to do was sit on my couch and binge watch Pie in the Sky.
To each his own.
And I did a little karaoke, too, because I was so taken with Don McLean yesterday. And I Love You So that I went down the karaoke rabbit hole on the computer and I started getting all the songs, the ballads I like from the 70s and singing along with them.
You,
so it was quite the afternoon at the Riedel household.
You were singing karaoke by yourself in your house?
I do it all the time.
What?
Yes, I do.
That is hysterical.
I do.
Nobody's watching you. You're just singing to yourself.
And I Love You So. I was doing it. And I had a little few Shirley Bassey, James Bond songs in there. So it was very... It was a butch afternoon in the Riedel household.
Let's sum up. He's watching a TV series about a cop who likes to cook, and he's doing Don McLean karaoke.
With a little Shirley Bassey thrown in there, too.
Fascinating guy.
It was a great afternoon. What else are you going to do the snow is falling?
Well, how about everyone else? I mean, I thought the side roads on Long Island a little dicey, but the main roads, the expressway was just wet. And I don't think it's going to freeze up because temperature's above 32, but still go careful out there. But I didn't experience any ice on the way in.
There's a heaviness to the snow, though. When I was waiting to catch a cab this morning, I noticed big chunks of snow falling from the trees in the West Village I live. So be careful about that.
Now, Natalie, you stayed over, right? And Joe, you stayed over? So you guys stayed over, right? Yeah. So, Natalie, what happened out at your house where you've been snow central the last couple of weeks?
My husband goes, and why didn't they go to school yesterday?
Oh, okay.
It really wasn't a big deal in Northwest New Jersey. The roads,
that's good.
Not a lot of accumulation. You know, definitely heavy snow. Had to shovel a couple of passes.
How about delays today?
Everybody's delayed today.
Everyone's delayed.
The buses need their time to get out. They have to get them out of the yard. You know, and then the schools have to clear paths for the kids to get back to school. So that usually doesn't happen until the morning.
So while New York City schools are open, there are some closed districts in our area, by the way, but there are lots and lots of delays. Joe, same thing out by you? Not a big deal?
No, I guess we probably had, I'm trying to think, Gene was sending me pictures last night, maybe 6-7 inches, that's about it.
We got 8 inches in Central Park, 11 inches in Brooklyn.
Well, the winner in the borough seems to be Staten Island, 13.
Or Richmond.
13.8. So congratulations, Staten Island. Out on Long Island, it looks like Patchogue is your winner at 19.3 inches.
Ding, ding, ding.
Congratulations to Patchogue.
You can build a snowman.
New Jersey did not get the worst of it, but the Jersey Shore did get more than others. They have the most power outages. Tom's River, 1 foot. And Connecticut kind of dodged it. We have Fairfield, Connecticut at 6.5 inches.
Yeah, so Connecticut wasn't hit too hard, actually.
It is good snowman snow, by the way.
Yes, it's hard. It's a good packing,
snow.
Good packing snow.
Mass Transit, everything seems to be operating normal today. No cross-honoring in effect in New Jersey. Metro North, normal. Long Island Railroad, normal. Well, if you want to call it normal. Power outages, the biggest number is JCP&L, over 28,000. Natalie, you were telling me that's mostly Jersey Shore, right?
Yes, concentrated down in South Jersey. And then they had bigger snow totals, and it was heavy, so I could see some trees coming down, some power lines.
Doesn't look like any flights are getting out until 10, 11 o'clock this morning.
Now, I was just going to get to the airports. They're listing cancellations. They're listing at Newark 137 flights, LaGuardia 162, JFK 93. We were just watching a report from Channel 4 before, and just about every flight was canceled on
Absolutely,
the board this morning. So I think they'll get out later. I think the early flights are in trouble.
I would think so, too. But double check your flight, or you should get those little text alerts that they give you out now. But it looks pretty barren at the airports this morning.
And your flight last night to London was still canceled?
It was canceled. They bumped me onto a flight this morning at 9:30, but I wanted to be here with you, Len.
What a floaty baloney. What did I sit on your couch and do Shirley Bassey karaoke? Now, you were supposed to be at Andrew Lloyd Webber's 70th birthday party, which
is tonight.
70th birthday is today.
And the party's tonight. And he shares a birthday with another giant of the musical theater. The birthday today is also Stephen Sondheim, who's, I think, 88.
Yes. So two giants of Broadway.
Yeah, Wait a minute. Another amazing musical person's birthday
totally,
today.
Completely. He wrote a lovely song that I karaoke to, Send in the Clowns.
Wait, Natalie's got
a
third.
Some very interesting music. William Shatner.
Oh, it's William Shatner.
87
He
today.
Does have an album, though. He does. William exactly. Shatner does have an album.
Get up some of his album.
Oh, he's got that song. Oh, God.
Get up some of his album.
That plane song. I can't remember that plane song now, but yeah.
He can't beat Shatner. By the way, Facebook.
I love Shatner.
Shatner's upset because Facebook put out a story to say
that he's dead.
Shatner's pissed. I think he's going to go make another musical album. All right, our big three stories this morning. On Thursday, the 22nd of March, we have the big cleanup. Snow not as bad as advertised in some places. In other places, it was worse. Also in the big three, the president fighting back against the criticism over his Putin congratulations. And you know what? I think they're all correct. I mean, who's leaking and why? I mean, I think Rubio's right.
Marco Rubio's calling for the leaker of the... Well, somebody leaked this. Apparently, Trump had a memo, and in all caps, it said, do not congratulate Vladimir Putin on his recent election. And the very first thing Trump did in the phone call was say, congratulations, Vlad, on your recent election to president of Russia.
Yeah, well, you know what? He really shouldn't. Others have pointed out that Obama also offered congratulations 4 years ago. But really, you're congratulating these guys over what's basically a sham election. That's really...
It's being polite. That's all it is. He's got to deal with Russia. They are one of the most powerful nations on the planet. If we're going to accomplish anything, we're going to probably have to do it with Russia, especially talking to North Korea. Why is he going to alienate Putin?
Hey, by the way, Len, so the other elections were not shams? I mean, when Obama was president, that's not a sham?
No, I said neither of them should have been.
No.
I wasn't singling out Trump. Now, others have parsed that the times are worse now.
The New York Times. Len's talking points come from the editorial in the New York Times today, which he was clutching when he came in. He said, did you see that editorial in the New York Times?
Just read the last line.
Here's the last line. If Trump isn't Mr. Putin's lackey, it's time for him to prove it.
Well, the big story is this Brennan guy, the former CIA guy, says that the Russians have something on him.
I think he's afraid of the president of Russia.
Why?
Well, I think one can speculate as to why, that the Russians may have something on him personally, that they could always roll out and make his life more difficult.
Aha!
I've got news for you, Brennan. I'm afraid of Vladimir Putin. That guy has killed a lot of people.
The point that they're parsing, and you can call it the Times or CNN, but they're parsing the point that the difference between congratulating Putin now and then is the annexation of Crimea. And the meddling in our election.
The difference is it's Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the difference. But Len, the
Times was going after Trump when he was being nasty and mean about Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Remember, they was, you can't talk like that. That's not diplomatic. He can't say those things. And now they want him to bash Putin for being some murderous despot.
Are you saying the left and the media is hypocritical?
Yes.
I'm shocked. But I think Rubio does make a point, because someone obviously is leaking out of the White House. And, you know, they're painting Trump and Kelly as being furious. But Rubio makes a good point. If you hate Trump or these guys so much, then why work there?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Also in our big three, well, I know you're excited about Mr. Wardrobe himself. Mark Zuckerberg breaks his silence over the Facebook dust-up. I guess he had to answer the call because everyone was saying, where are you?
What's hilarious is this company, this is the biggest crisis it has faced. And the guy still can't put on a jacket and a tie when he goes on to CNN and apologizes. He's still wearing his, you know, Harvard T-shirt.
I don't think he has anything else in his closet.
Have you ever seen him in anything but a T-shirt?
No.
Ridiculous.
7:30, we have Mets tickets for you this morning. Two tickets, and we have a four-pack of tickets for you at 8:30. And for Mets fans, we also have Howie Rose, the great voice of the Mets, at 9:40. Because 1 week from today, opening day. For the Mets.
We're going to be there.
And the Yankees. Yankees are opening in Toronto that day. And at 8:40 this morning, TV and Broadway star Alan coming. I'm looking forward to that.
He's a great guy. I saw him back in 1999, that long ago, when he came to New York starring as the MC in a revival of Cabaret, and he won a Tony Award. And now he's a big TV star. You love the Good Wife, right?
He played Eli Gold in the Good
press
Wife. Wonderful.
Press
I'm going to ask, and he'll be bored by the question, but he has such a Scottish brogue.
He's from Scotland, Lynn.
Well, I know, but you would never know it. I didn't know it. I only really became familiar with him from The Good Wife. He was on it for several years.
Yeah.
You would guess he's speaks American, you know? and I'm very impressed with these actors who are British or Scottish, and you would never know it, and they speak perfect American.
He does on the show. But, you can learn the accents and whatnot. But when he speaks as natural, he sounds like Scotty on Star Trek.
He does. But we just have to wish a happy birthday to William Shatner, because you just can't get enough of his...
Newsflash, he's not dead, according to Facebook.
And you can't get enough of his music renderings, really.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me around again to find I'm not the man they think I am. Oh, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man.
It sounds like me doing karaoke in my apartment yesterday. I gotta say, I'm similar to that, missing a lot of those notes there.
William Shatner doing?
I'm a rocket man. Rocket man.
Yeah, I can't get enough of that. Well, coming up, another storm is in the books. Things returning to normal. We're gonna get a full report. What he got right, what he got wrong. I think he actually pretty much nailed it. WOR meteorologist Ray Stajic coming up when we return. And your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. But right now, it's time to get our initial look at traffic this morning. Here's Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody. At 6:24, we got
a heavyweight championship fight.
Where's the boxing bell? Get the boxing bell out. It's Biden versus Trump.
Well, this is a weak bell.
That's not a boxing bell. No. Ding, 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 ding.
It's a boxing bell.
Ding, 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 ding.
Biden against Trump. This is good. This is a good. This could be the race.
Yeah. Well, we got to set it up now. I think it will be the race. I think Biden is going to run, and I think he will get the Democratic nomination, and he will challenge Trump. But they are duking it out this morning. Now, Biden said yesterday, he told an audience at the University of Miami that he would have, quote, beat the hell out of President Trump in high school for comments Trump has made about women.
When a guy who ended up becoming our national leader said, I can grab a woman anywhere and she likes it, and then said, I didn't make a mistake, but they asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Oh, baby.
Well, there you are.
Donald Trump
has responded.
He just tweeted, Crazy Joe Biden is trying to act like a tough guy. Actually, he's weak, both mentally and physically, and yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault. He doesn't know me, but he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way. Don't threaten people, Joe.
Oh, my God. It really does sound like they're in the schoolyard.
Is that wild?
Like 12 and 13 years old. Grow up, folks.
Crazy Joe Biden.
What I'm telling you, I saw Biden not too long ago on a train going down to Philadelphia. He looked great. He had his big briefing book out. He was working on a speech. He looked like a man who was ready to run.
Was he wearing boxing gloves?
Oh, no, he was not. Okay. He was not. So, sure. But that's it. A big political brawl between Biden and Trump.
Well, that's exciting. That'd be fun.
This is going to be an unfolding story throughout the day, Len.
Okay.
All right, let's go to WOR's Weather Channel meteorologist Ray Stajic to get the latest on the storm aftermath. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning.
So I noticed what you would call heavy snow, chunks of it falling out of the trees this morning. We're going to have a problem there?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. The heavy, wet snow has a tendency to stick to anything it touches. So not much more falling out of the sky, though. Some leftover snow showers this morning.
A few flakes I noticed this morning.
Yeah, just a few around. Radar, most of it winding down. Just a few spits and dribbles here up through North Jersey. That could rotate through over the next couple hours, but no accumulation. So it looks like we'll wrap it up with a record for the date yesterday at JFK, LaGuardia, Central Park. 8.2 inches in Central Park was a record for the date. 8.7 at LaGuardia, 8.4 at Kennedy. So some decent snow across the area.
Hey, Ray, yes. You may not be prepared for this.
I'm prepared for everything.
Well, but
how many inches, Ray?
No. Ray said repeatedly yesterday, 8 to 12, but he was now leaning toward the lower end, and Central Park comes in at 8.2. Ray?
Yes, sir.
You nailed it.
Close enough. I mean, for the work I do, right?
Well, what work do you do exactly?
I don't know.
That's another story.
I make it up. And you know what? The bottom line is that there were areas that did get more.
Well, yeah, Patchogue got 19.3 inches. Yeah. That got slaughtered in Patchogue.
Yeah, and I mean, even around the city in Queens, we had reports of 12, 13 inches. Where, let's see, Westerly 13, Bayside 13.7. So out on the Long Island, there's this one band that set up that produced some heavier snowfall. And as I told Joe earlier this morning, it is so difficult trying to predict one number in one spot for a snowfall forecast. And, you know, that's why I like ranges. And I think, Atlanta, I think you know, I hate when you ask me to give you a number, but it's fun. It's fun doing it.
Yeah.
But it's
sure.
Almost, yeah. It's like, I always say, how come when it rains, nobody says, give me an exact number on how much rain? Why? Because it's really not.
Well, it washes away. It doesn't stick around.
Who cares about 8 to 12? You don't shovel 8 to 12.
If you're going to tell me we're going to get 12 inches of rain, I'm going to build an ark, okay?
No, but that's right. Start stacking the gopher wood.
Right. Before you get a swelled head, the last one with Central Park, you just blew it big time. But this one.
Right away, he's got to go back.
No, but this one, I know. Well, I'm like the Republicans. Well, Obama was worse.
Oh, stop it. You politicize everything, Len.
But,
Oh, Mike. You even politicize the weather. He's politicized
but
the
this
weather.
This one was good, Ray. I give you a pat on the head.
Well,
this is good.
Thank you.
Hey, Ray, how long is the snow going to stick around?
I don't know how long it's going to stick around. Probably not long with daytime highs in the mid-40s. It'll probably melt pretty quickly. Nighttime lows, you might have to watch for refreezing in some spots where you're able to see maybe some melting from the side of the roads getting on some of the sidewalks and that, because we will be in the low 30s and 20s out in the suburbs. I don't see anything getting back to average for highs till maybe the middle of next week, but longer range suggests, hey, it might get chilly again around here.
What?
Early April, yeah.
What? Yeah. Any more storms brewing there in Europe? Don't you look over to Europe to see the storms
zipping
around?
Around there. Yeah,
anything? I mean, is this it? Can we say? I know we can't say for certain, but is
right,
this possibly
right.
The last storm of the winter?
I'll go with possibly.
Yeah, good one. Nice, Ray.
I like that word. Yeah.
Good job, Ray. Okay.
Could be, mayhaps. Talk about guys who can soft shoe.
Listen, right. 20 years, I've got them all. I can dance, baby.
It's gonna be cold though. Oh yeah, yeah. You're
thanks,
depressing.
Ray. Hey, opening day a week from today. What do you got? Quick,
It still looks dry. Temperatures probably upper 40s, low 50s.
All right. We'll take it.
All right, thanks, Ray Stajic, WOR's Weather Channel meteorologist. Thanks for an accurate report yesterday. He hit it.
Don't sound so surprised. Occasionally, you know. Someone sent on our Twitter feed. Someone sent us a picture of a groundhog holding up a sign. I lied.
It's true. All right, now let's get the 6:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael, there are about 30,000 power outages as a result of the storm, almost all of them JCP&L customers in New Jersey, the bulk of those in Monmouth and Ocean counties along the Jersey shore. Of course, we still have a lot of flights canceled. Most flights expected to get out today, though, but you're going to have to be patient. Some developments regarding the Austin bombings. Authorities in Texas say there may not be a specific reason why this 23-year-old man set off the series of explosions. The police chief, Brian Manley, says that Mark Condit left a 25-minute video on his phone. It was a confession revealing that he was just basically a troubled young man.
He does not at all mention anything about terrorism, nor does he mention anything about hate. But instead, it is the outcry of a very challenged young man talking about challenges in his personal life that led him to this point.
Inside Condit's home, authorities found materials to build additional bombs. They say he built 7 explosive devices. All of them have been accounted for. How about this? Could be illegal to walk and smoke in New York City. City Councilman Peter Koo wants to fine people $50 if they're smoking while walking on city sidewalks.
I think if they walk and chew gum at the same time, that should find that.
This is the deep nanny state coming at us.
Wow.
It is a little extreme, but it is.
A little?
Well, when you walk behind people who smoke, it really is.
Well, then ban smoking in the world. I mean,
well, that wouldn't be bad, but.
Oh, hey. No. You too, a nanny stater, Bartlett?
Yeah.
You're a nanny stater?
On this one,
Oh,
I don't think walking and smoking, this seems silly.
Totally.
Yeah, sure. Under this law, you'd have to stand in one place when you light up.
What? Okay, you walked. Can you imagine the cops?
You got a cigarette in your mouth. You took one step. That's it.
You walked.
$50.
It's kind of crazy, but, you know, it's a problem when you're out there and you get a lot of smoke in your face.
You're in the air. You just wave it away. It goes away in a second. What are you worried about?
The Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, I love that ride. It's my favorite ride at Disney.
What about it?
It's reopened with a newly empowered character. The previously redhead character was an object for sale.
Oh, it was a woman. Yeah, that's right.
That's not good.
Pirates they would kidnap the women and then auction them off.
Now... she's a pirate herself and has pillaged the town's rum supply, so she's not...
Awesome. So now she's a drunk.
She's a
drunken slattern. Great.
She's gone from a slave to a drunk.
To a drunk. No,
that's
fabulous.
That's a step up.
Here's the other one. There was also... this is all the Me Too movement effect here regarding the treatment of women. There was another scene where pirates were chasing a woman.
Yes, I remember that. Oh, they go around through the house.
What's wrong with that? Yeah, yeah.
They're not doing that anymore.
So what? But what they forget to tell you is there is the scene where the pirate's chasing the woman, and then if I'm not mistaken, there's a scene where an older woman's got a broom and they have her chasing and banging the pirate's head. So that's a good hashtag Me Too moment.
That's abuse. They should take that out.
No, it's the woman beating up the pirate. So they were
pirate
sensitive
abuse.
Back
because
that's the joke.
I'm offended by pirate abuse. Arg.
Don't start with the pirate jokes, Len.
The pirate's late for me. All right, we got a confession.
Like, where are your buccaneers, that joke?
Actually, you look, if you had an eye patch on, you would look like one of those pirates in the Pirates of the Caribbean this morning, Len. Doesn't he look like that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's got a big bottle of rum there hanging out on the bridge.
And you're singing karaoke, watching a TV series about a cop who cooks. That's exciting. If you have an exciting life, wow, I'm jealous.
The karaoke part was exciting. I sounded exactly like William Shatner, who we'll be hearing more of this morning.
It's his birthday. It's his 87th birthday today.
Happy birthday, Bill Shatner. We have a confession from the Austin bomber who blew himself up. And we'll tell you why he set off a series of explosions in the city when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Viter.
WOR.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6:40, the day after the 4th nor'easter, and roads are pretty good. I noticed the major highways are just kind of wet, so I think that's not going to be the big problem. Schools are open in New York City, but lots and lots of two-hour delays all over the area, including all of Natalie's districts in New Jersey, bunch on Long Island. There were some districts here and there that are actually closed, but I'm noticing as I look at the TV stations, the crawls on the bottom, a bunch of two-hour delays all throughout the tri-state area.
I'm a little disappointed. We were talking to WOR's Weather Channel meteorologist, Ray Sajak, and I said, is this the last storm? And he said, possibly.
Yeah.
And he said it's going to be cold in April, beginning of April. He said the temperatures are going to plunge. So.
Well, I was looking ahead. Now, if you believe the Weather Channel, they put out a 15-day forecast on the app.
Yeah.
And it's like in the high 40s in the beginning of April. I mean, that's just, come on.
Depressing.
Sorry, spring. It's going to, you know, here's, you'll get that typical cliche. We're going to go right from winter to summer. There'll be no spring this year.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
It's a cliche because it's true.
And
it does
happen. Lots of flights have been canceled, by the way.
Yeah.
Not as many as yesterday, but it looks like the morning's going to be a tough start for some of the airlines. So
we were watching the news this morning, and they're at the airport, and they show the flight board, and all you see are red, canceled.
Well, the good thing that got canceled was the serial bomber in Austin.
It got blown to smithereens.
He blew himself up, and it looks like they're saying it was the bomb that killed him, because there was some thought that perhaps it was the police bullet that also got him.
I think he detonated the bomb in his car as the police moved in on him.
And then they shot him for good measure, just to make sure. He's very, very dead, like the Wizard of Oz. You know,
he's very dead. He's all over the highway.
Well, this...
23 years old, Mark Anthony Condit.
Condit,
23 years old. This is interesting, though. 23 years old, but he showed a real level of sophistication in making these bombs. And according to a neighbor, he was a real bookish kid, always nose buried in the books. I wonder if he was reading these bomb manuals.
Well, he left behind a cell phone with a 25-minute recording, which police are calling a confession. But they're also saying, you know, there's no mention of anything about terrorism or anything about hate. But the truth of the matter is, That was terrorism. If you're
it was, of course it was terrorism.
Bombs, you're terrifying. You know, we have this whole debate all the time of what is, what isn't terrorism. If you're going to terrify your neighborhood or your town,
it's called
that's terrorism.
Right. Now, we don't know about hate crimes and whatnot. They, so far, they say there's no connection to like a right-wing, crazy, lunatic, fringy type guy. We haven't heard anything about that yet, and certainly nothing to do with any kind of other terrorism.
Well, you heard wild speculation that because Austin's such a liberal town, that this guy could have been a right-wing, but
he's 23 years old.
I know. I mean, yesterday they were saying 24. Has he been downgraded now?
No, he's 23. I see in the reports now.
Okay.
I'm getting 23 years old.
Because yesterday they were saying male, 24. Yeah.
But you have to be seriously screwed up at 23 years absolutely. Old to be building bombs?
This was Chief Brian Manley in Austin.
He does not at all mention anything about terrorism, nor does he mention anything about hate, but instead, it is the outcry of a very challenged young man talking about challenges in his personal life that led him to this point.
You know, there was a lot of talk about technology, Michael, that he was using a certain battery that they could track down for his bombs, that the cell phone pings, the video of him placing a package at FedEx, all this video and pings and technology is what really got him. You
know? Well, also, apparently they saw him placing that bomb there at FedEx with pink gloves. He was wearing pink construction gloves. So then they went to Home Depots in the area to try to trace the pink gloves, and they also looked at the surveillance footage at the Home Depot, and they saw someone who was about the same height as the guy with pink gloves buying pink gloves at a Home Depot. So that was the tip-off.
Because when he was placing the package at FedEx on video, he was wearing a wig.
Yes.
So that's pretty clever on their part, same height, whatever.
I know everybody is interested in a motive and understanding why, and we are never going to be able to put a ration behind these acts.
Never.
Well, I don't know about that.
Never?
I don't know about that. I mean, they're going to work up a psychological profile. You start talking to parents, friends, neighbors, relatives. You know, there's got to be a key to unlock the mystery of this sicko mind.
Why a kid? I mean, you look at him. He's like a baby-faced kid.
He looks like he's 10, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like anybody's next-door neighbor.
There was no indication of why these specific addresses in those that were delivered to homes or those that were placed in the community or those that were mailed. There was no reason given for why he selected those individuals.
We're speculating here, but I mean, is he one of these video game nuts? Is he watching these games or they blow everything up and that kind of thing? I mean, I don't believe in banning video games, but a lot of these games are seriously violent. And if I were a parent, I would be worried about my kids being inundated with this violence in video games and movies all the time.
Well, before the video games came out, people made the same charges against movies, you know, the violence in movies or the violence on television. Can you go A to B to C and make a connection?
I think we've gotten, especially with these video games, they have gotten extreme violence.
They are.
That is more violent than any of the PG movies that I grew up with.
Now, this is Special Agent Fred Milanowski on the case in Austin.
As far as completed device, there was no completed devices in the house. There was componentry and the homemade explosive material that we found in the house, and that's what we were most concerned about.
So they found some other materials in the house. You know, they were concerned yesterday about perhaps that he had sent some other packages that haven't been located yet. But
do we have any updates on that?
No. Well, we're going to be speaking with Jim Ryan of ABC News, terrific correspondent, right after the top of the 7 o'clock news, and he will give us the very, very latest update.
We're looking at any associates that the subject might have had to make sure this is singular in nature and there aren't other people that knew about this.
Right. Yeah, there's we don't know if there are any accomplices yet. They haven't ruled that out, so you still got to be careful down there in Austin.
Well, down in Dallas, the local CBS station had a former ATF agent on, and he thought maybe there was an accomplice, but I don't know how he made that suspicion.
Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see when they work up that psychological profile. I mean, a 23-year-old mad bomber. That is disturbing, Lynn.
Absolutely is. So we'll have a lot more coming up after the top of the hour. The good news is it looks like it's over. The serial bomber is dead. Coming up next, a woman was buried alive. You're not going to believe this. By her own clutter. You're not going to believe the story of an 87-year-old hoarder. It's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. But first, Bernie Viter has our traffic report.
Good morning, everybody. At 6:54 here on a Thursday morning. Now, I have a confession to make to you, Len. My apartment could be described as cluttered.
Really?
I have a lot of books. I have so many books that a lot of them are no longer on the shelves because the shelves are already groaning with books. So I've begun stacking books up on the floor.
Now, you're a newspaper guy. Do you have, like, tons of newspapers all piled up?
No. I don't say newspapers. I'm not that crazy. It's books. I've got books everywhere. I've got piles of books next to my bed. And
sounds like a fun apartment. It really does.
Yeah, it's like a cluttered library. I mean, I'm not a hoarder yet, but I could see myself as I get older and a little more eccentric.
A little more?
singing karaoke and watching BBC.
A BBC series about a cop who cooks, man.
High in the sky. It's
binging.
Terrific.
Yeah, the cop who cooks and you're doing karaoke.
And I got books all over the place. But here is a hoarder warning story that actually it's kind of creepy and chills my blood. The remains of a missing 87-year-old hoarder have been found buried under the clutter in her home. Now, this is in Wales.
Wow.
Her name was Gaynor Jones. She was found dead in her cottage, and neighbors had not seen her for 4 years.
They found her
decomposing body. And the only reason they found the body is because she lived with her daughter.
Wait a second. The daughter didn't say, where's Bob?
Well, the daughter, Valerie Jones, she too was found under mounds of paper. She is not dead. She's in a hospital now. But as the emergency services people went in and they dug Valerie Jones out, they started rooting around the other clutter there, and they found the remains of the decomposing body of 87-year-old Gaynor Jones. So this is like, remember the Collier brothers, the famous Collier hoarder brothers here in New York City?
But isn't there a TV show like Hoarders?
Hoarders, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Hoarding, absolutely. Buried Alive on TLC.
Wait, Buried Alive. Well, this is what happened to this woman.
That's what it's called?
Buried Alive.
Jeez.
And neighbors said they had not seen Gaynor Jones in 4 years.
That's creepy.
One of them said they were an eccentric family. You certainly wouldn't pop over for a cup of tea. I guess you could describe them as odd. Now you can describe her as decomposing.
Natalie, what's that TV series like? Are you just so people with a bunch of stuff? Or they go out and clean it up for
them? Well, they try, you know, they'll do interventions with the family, whoever's involved. They try to clean up. You know, it's just kind of sad because obviously a lot of, I would say probably all of the people, it's a mental illness. There's something else going on. And a lot of times it's tragic stories that it started after the death of a child, that they wouldn't want to get rid of anything.
Oh, now you're making me sad.
Oh, well, it is very sad.
The 87-year-old didn't make me sad, but this story is.
Well, it's interesting, though, because I've seen a couple episodes of Hoarders, and what emerges slowly is this disturbing psychological profile of these people because they have a moment in their lives where they're ostensibly normal, and then something breaks, and then they just cannot part.
Right.
So, what explains all the books you're collecting? So, what broke?
It goes back a long way, Len, and I haven't known you long enough to give you the full story on that. So,
hey, Natalie came up with this thing.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a YouTube video going around. It's a parrot by the name of Destiny. We don't know where the parrot lives, but the parrot only says one thing.
I scream.
You scream, we scream. This parrot screams for ice cream.
Is that what it's saying? Ice cream? Are we sure it's
ice cream? Ice cream.
So it's a 2-minute video.
Shoot that parrot, please. Shoot that parrot.
And people sit and watch 2 minutes of this?
Why does the parrot like ice cream?
Who doesn't like ice cream?
Well, how does the parrot even know about ice cream? It's not like the parrot goes to the frozen food section in the supermarket and buys Haagen-Dazs.
I don't think the parrot really knows what it's saying. It's just saying what it was taught.
How many views does this video have?
Right now, almost 100,000.
Ice cream.
It's gonna be that parrot's going to be the spokes parrot for Dairy Queen.
They'd be smart.
They probably would be, actually.
Ice cream.
All right, enough of the parrot.
So at what point do you and Bartlett and Natalie say, stop playing that already.
About
if you play,
yes,
ago.
If you play that ice cream parrot for the rest of the afternoon, Len, I'm going to bring a bunch of hoarder piles of books here and dump them on you, and they won't find you for 4 years.
By the way,
Mets tickets
coming up in about half an hour. We got two tickets for you, and then at 8:30 we're giving away four more tickets because you got opening day 1 week
coming
from
up
today.
Coming up,
I think
coming
it's going to be in the early,
It's going to be in the 40s.
Early afternoon, but low 50s we think.
Yeah. And by the way,
yeah,
you can see that parrot on our website.
We can. Go to 710WOR.
Don't play it again.
Len and Michael. 710WOR.com/Len and Michael.
I knew you would do it.
Got to admit it.
You know what? I wish I had the cloth and I would throw it over the cage so the parrot would shut up. All right. We're learning more about the Austin bomber and the reasons behind a series of explosions across the city. We're going to check in with ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan. He'll tell us what the police down in Austin are saying. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 7 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
Your new wake-up call.
Good morning, everybody. As we dig out from the fourth nor'easter of the month, I was hoping we could get our weatherman Ray Stajic, WOR weatherman Ray Stajic, to tell us that it was the last of the storms. But when I asked him, Len, he said, possibly.
I thought he said,
No. Here you go with the parrot. Here you go with the parrot. Here you go with the parrot.
Do you know how annoying that is?
Really? Stop it. Can you play the parade music again? Oh, anything but this parrot.
There's a parrot on YouTube that Natalie found that just keeps asking
why
for ice cream.
Why does anybody care about this parrot who says ice cream? Nobody cares about this.
It only has 100,000 views. That's nothing on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it just was posted like 5 minutes ago.
No. It's going to go viral. Just you watch.
Just you wait.
More people
and
have had their data stolen from Facebook than have watched this stupid parrot YouTube thing there.
They should steal the parrot is what they should steal.
Kill the parrot. That's what they should do. All right. So we're digging out from the snow. We had 8.2 inches in Central Park. Biggest hit in New York City was Port Richmond, Staten Island, with almost 14 inches. Len, how's it looking out where you are up there in Sands Point?
Yeah, North Shore of Long Island. I think we got about 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And the side roads, just a little dicey early this morning. But, you know, once you hit the main roads, it was fine. And the temperature's above 32.
Yeah.
So the LIE, for example, was just wet.
Yep.
And cars and trucks, unfortunately, were zooming by, as they usually do.
Heavy snow in the trees, I noticed, when I was coming to work this morning in Greenwich Village, where I live. Chunks of the snow were falling off the trees. So be careful out there. And, Natalie, you got pounded the last time, but not quite so bad where you are in New Jersey, right?
No, Northwest New Jersey had it easy this time. I think it probably had one of the smallest snow totals of the area. So
the ones that were hit with the shore, right? Jersey Shore,
they got a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of power
and
outages.
A lot of power outages, but very South Jersey. The biggest numbers came down in Atlantic County, down by Atlantic City.
Schools are open here in the city, but delays this morning.
Well, the schools, I don't think New York City schools are delayed, but there are delays on tons of New Jersey, Long Island, Westchester, Connecticut schools. All, you know, the basic thing seems to be 2-hour delay. Now, Natalie has three in her family in three different districts, all 2-hour delays on all three?
I have a 90-minute, a 2-hour. I think 290 minutes in an hour and 2 hours. Yeah. That's the normal.
Did they tell the bus drivers, though?
that was a problem we had last week.
Yes, we did.
I remember.
Bus driver knew about delays.
I remember. And airport cancellations, too. So check on your flights. We've got 137 canceled at Newark, 162 at LaGuardia, 93 at JFK.
And, you know, Seth Meyers pointed out last night on his NBC show, there's a bright side to those plane cancellations, Michael.
Thousands of flights were delayed or canceled today due to a snowstorm in the Northeast. So I guess your life has been spared for one more day, dogs who had tickets on United.
So you got to look at the
fair point.
You
got to
look
fair
at the bright side. The dogs are united with their families if they don't fly United.
Wonder if you could bring that parrot on the plane.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, sorry.
You know,
Natalie,
you know, if you bring that parrot on the plane, you know where it's going? In the overhead bin.
Natalie, thank you for bringing
it. No, he's going to play it again. Playing it again.
Could you imagine sitting on a transatlantic flight with that?
Do you have any idea how annoying
Can you imagine that is? Sitting in a studio this morning with that?
Do you have any idea how annoyed the listeners are right now?
Okay, hey, they have buttons that they can push, Len.
Don't
do that. Don't do that.
Okay, listeners.
No, don't.
I'm not going to play it anymore.
Oh, thank God.
I'm not. I promise. Yeah.
No. But you lie every time you say you're promising not to play something. There is that evil twinkle in your eye just before your finger hits the parrot button. Well,
this time I mean it.
No.
I know it.
I know it.
Who can trust you?
You're going in the overhead bin. All right, Len. Also in the big three, we've got Trump and Putin. Now, Trump is defending his phone call to Vladimir Putin, which he congratulated Putin on his big election victory there in Russia. A lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, think Trump should not have done that because probably Putin rigged the election in his favor. But Len and I disagree on this one. I think Trump was just being polite. He's got to deal with Vladimir Putin. He's got to deal with Russia. You're going to get anything done in this world, you got to deal with it. So be polite and move on.
No, I thought, listen, if you're talking to the guy, you throw an IU congrats. But he did tweet out yesterday and he defended himself. He says the fake news media is going crazy. They're wrong. Getting along with Russia and others is a good thing, not a bad thing. He goes on to say more about we can solve problems about North Korea, Syria, the arms race, etc. And he all caps peace through strength. There you go. Now you got
stealing from the Reagan. And also Mark Zuckerberg still in his t-shirt going on his apology tour because data from 50 million Facebook users was stolen by Cambridge Analytica. Sounds like a dark state thing to me, and was possibly used to swing the election for Trump, but I don't know if we can quite prove that, Len.
Probably not.
No. But let's now check in with ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan down in Austin, Texas, the latest on this bomber. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Yeah, we are learning at least a little bit more about this person, although the key question of why he might have carried out these bomb attacks over the last 3 weeks remains unanswered. There's no real clear answer for that. I mean, the police chief, having listened to a 25-minute audio confession on the guy's phone, still was unable to pin down precisely why it was done, except to say that he seemed to have some challenges in his life. Well, that seems to go without saying. Why these people, apparently they were randomly picked out as victims, the two who died and the half dozen or so who were hurt.
Jim, they're saying that, or at least the authorities are saying, we're never going to know the motive. Why not? Why would they never know the motive?
Well, because we don't have Mark Condit to sit down in a room and tell us why. You know, there may be things written that he alludes to, that he at least gives hints about. But at least in this 25-minute tape or this recording, apparently a video recording on his phone, there's no real why. He doesn't say, this is why I'm doing this. He describes in detail seven bombs, though, that he had built. We now have accounted for seven bombs, so at least we can breathe a little easier knowing that there are probably none out there in the public venue, you know, none in still out there in FedEx or somewhere. So, you know, why? It's hard to tell unless you have the person to sit down in front of you and tell you why.
Yeah, but I mean, won't they be able to work up a psychological profile of him, talking to his relatives and parents and friends and neighbors?
Yeah. Right. I think that'll give you some probability. It'll give you, this is probably why he did it. This may be the reason that he did it, but I don't know if we'll ever know exactly this is why he did it. You know, I mean, it's hard to explain this kind of thing anyway, whether it's this, whether it's the Sutherland Springs shooting, the kid in at the high school in Florida. I mean, you can never really justify in your mind or put your thought process behind saying, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
We are on the line with Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent in Austin. The serial bomber is dead. Two questions. Are they sure there are no accomplices? And are they sure there are no other bombs out there floating around?
Well, yeah, there's no talk of any accomplices. Now, he has two roommates. One of them was questioned yesterday and turned loose fairly quickly. The second one was being questioned quite extensively yesterday, and we've not heard formally that he's been, you know, released from police custody. But if there are accomplices, then you know, maybe one of them could be, but no charges have been filed against anyone else, and I suspect that second roommate is going to be turned loose too. So no indication of any other accomplices. Going through the House, agents say they did find more bomb-making components, more of the stuff he was using, shrapnel and propellant, that sort of thing, but no assembled devices. So I think people can rest easy that there aren't any other bombs out there.
Jim, the detective work was interesting here because he was caught on a surveillance camera with a wig and wearing pink construction gloves when he dropped off a package at FedEx. And if I'm correct, they thought, where do you buy these gloves? So they went to Home Depot's and they looked at surveillance footage there and they saw someone who kind of was the same size or matched the description of the kid in the first video.
Yeah, it was just plain old police work. That's what they do all the time when they're trying to find someone, try to draw connections and figure out little pieces of the picture. So they have this surveillance video of him walking in, or this surveillance still pictures, walking and dropping off these packages at FedEx. They pick out individual details. The guy who's wearing a wig, apparently, and a hat, and gloves. So they look at the gloves and they say, where could these have come from? When they picked apart the unexploded device that was found in the FedEx system, where did these nails and screws come from? Mm. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, they just start to build a picture of who this person might be, and it worked.
And a lot is being made of the pings from cell phones. Mm-hmm. They were able to tell cell phones in the area of all the various bombings. I mean, that must be, wow, there's going to be tons of cell phone pings, but I guess if you go through it meticulously, you get a pattern.
Exactly. Well, I think once they saw the picture and figured out who this person probably was, and they say it's Mark Condit, they can go into his cell phone record and say, okay, this is what his cell phone signature looks like. So as soon as that cell phone was turned on, they move in. They figure out which tower it is, which tower is being pinged. They race to that area. They went around. They found this rather unusual-looking beat-up maroon SUV. And they say this is his vehicle. They set up on the vehicle. He gets in, tries to drive away. They go in to make the arrest. They had a warrant already in hand. And then he blew himself up.
Hey, Jim, any chance that they will release the 25-minute confession video that he made so that we can see it?
Doubtful. The police chief said yesterday that it probably won't be released. They had a lot of sensitivity related to that, including from his own family. The Condit's family say they were completely taken off guard by it. They had no idea this was going on, and for the victims as well. So it seems unlikely, although it's entirely possible that it might be out there in the public view someday, Mike.
Yeah. All right. ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan down in Austin, Texas, giving us the latest on Mark Anthony Condit, the 23-year-old bomber. Jim, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
Just gets to me, Mike, when they say they'll never know the motive. I mean, I would think if they went through
his computer. Yeah.
There's got to be some Facebook post. There's got to be something somewhere they can put together a profile to determine why he did it.
Absolutely. I think they will have a psychological profile, and we will get at a motive sooner or later. All right. President Trump is defending his phone call to Vladimir Putin. Hey, peace through strength is what he's saying. Gotta talk to someone who could be your enemy from here to there. I think that's true. We'll tell you what he is saying, and the Republicans, Len, are on the hunt for the leaker who tipped people off about his memos there. That's coming up next, and your next chance at $1,000 is at 8:05 on 710 WOR, and now let's go to traffic with Bernie Viter.
Welcome back, everyone. It's 7:24, which means we are 6 minutes away from Mets tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Here on 710 WOR. Don't call yet, but when we tell you when to call, you have your chance to win a pair at 7:30, and you have a chance to win a four-pack at 8:30 is opening day 1 week from today. Here we go. Play ball.
Spring is here.
Here we go.
Could have fooled me.
We'll never get warm around here. So, obviously, the big controversy in Washington is over. The president calling Vladimir Putin and telling him congratulations on his sham election.
Well, blown out of proportion by your friends in the mainstream media.
My friends. Anyway.
Oh, the Times has got a thundering editorial today demanding that Trump take on Vladimir Putin or explain why he's Vladimir Putin's lackey.
Well, please. What's wrong with that?
Ridiculous.
Don't you think the president has shown a reticence to criticize Putin as opposed to other countries?
I think the president understands we're going to have to work with Russia to solve some major problems facing the world, such as terrorism and North Korea. And you are not going to be able to work with Putin if you insult him and alienate him, which is what the Times is calling for.
You are so in the tank for Trump. Don't you
think? Not in the tank for Trump.
Don't you think that he has shown... Okay, well, let me read you his tweets from yesterday, because obviously he heard all of this flack coming from what you call the mainstream media.
It is the mainstream media. What do you mean what I call the mainstream media? And Fox calls it the mainstream media, too.
Well, Fox is part of the mainstream. Fox isn't mainstream?
Mainstream? It's my stream, but not mainstream.
Right. So mainstream for you is a euphemism for left.
Yes, exactly.
I called President Putin of Russia to congratulate him on his election victory in the past. Obama called him also. That is true.
To congratulate Putin on his election victory. Okay.
The fake news media is crazed because they want me to excoriate him. They are wrong. Getting along with Russia and others is a good thing, not a bad thing. They can help solve problems with North Korea, Syria, Ukraine, ISIS, Iran, even the coming arms race. Bush tried to get along but didn't have the smarts. Well, that's a cheap shot. Obama and Clinton tried but didn't have the energy or chemistry. Remember,
well, by the end, Clinton hated reset. And remember, Hillary Clinton hated Putin by the end of her tenure as Secretary of State.
And that's why Putin got Trump
Secretary
elected.
Of the Deep State.
And that's why Putin meddled and got Trump elected. And the final line of the tweet is all caps, peace through strength. Now, this is former CIA director John Brennan.
I think he's afraid of the president of Russia.
Why?
Well, I think one can speculate as to why, that the Russians may have something on him personally, that they could always roll out and make his life more difficult.
Speculation there from the CIA chief. I thought those CIA people were a little more careful. I didn't think they speculated. I think they waited until they had evidence.
This is a former CIA chief. Lindsey Graham.
I don't know what happened, but it must be frustrating to the president not to be able to make a phone call without reading about it in the Washington Post. So I share his frustration.
So you're talking about the fact that he was told, do not congratulate him, and that leak came out. And you know what? They're all right about that. That leak shouldn't be coming out.
No, I mean, those are people really close to the president who are leaking right away to the Washington Post. I mean, I don't understand what the problem is. He congratulates him on the election. It's not like he asked for the nerve agent to use against Joe Biden or anything like that, Len.
Marco Rubio on the leak.
If you're leaking the stuff, it's to hurt him. And if you're trying to hurt him, it's because you don't like him or you don't agree with him. Why are you still there? I just think it's damaging to the country.
Well, it is. Hey, Rob in Oceanside wants to weigh in. Hey, Rob, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rob.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning, guys. Listen, you know, let's move on. Let's move forward, okay? Let's stop criticizing the president. Let's stop knocking the president. Barack Obama was the president for 8 years. I swallowed it for 8 years. I swallowed my pride, okay? The country moves on. Let's move on, okay? We need to move on and build relationships with other countries.
Okay, Rob, we're going to move on. But the problem is the president keeps looking back. Well, Obama did this, and I'm doing... So the president's the one who's always looking back.
We can't move on because Robert Mueller is out there with his collusion investigation. So we're not really moving on as long as Mueller's going after Trump. And by the way, Mueller came out with some stuff... He's got a line of questioning that he brought up with Trump's lawyers. He wants to talk about Trump being involved, possibly, with when his son met with a Russian agent and they said, oh, it was only about adoption. That's what he wants to talk about.
Well, we're talking about obstruction. Well,
and not
discuss.
Collusion. We're talking now about obstruction.
You are correct. Hey, what do you think of this councilman in New York who's introducing legislation that you will be fined $50 if you're caught walking and smoking on the city streets?
Ridiculous. The nanny state.
Well,
that's what it is.
We take phone calls on this. Smokers, non-smokers. You know, people don't want smoke blown in their face. Maybe some non-smokers think it's a good idea. What do you think, folks? We're going to take phone calls coming up in the next segment. Do you want people fined for walking in? I guess standing still and smoking is okay.
Yeah, you're fine. If you take one step, the police are going to descend on you like some smoking SWAT team.
Well,
please.
You'll have someone behind you.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, we'll take calls next, but don't call now because we want you to call for Mets tickets. Now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Cards on March the 31st at Citi Field. Be caller number 22 at 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. Brought to you by the Mets and Coca-Cola. Opening weekend at Citi Field features a Mets Build-A-Bear Teddy giveaway to the first 15,000 fans in attendance on Saturday, March 31st, and a tote bag giveaway to all fans on Sunday, April 1st. For tickets to opening weekend, go to Mets.com/tickets. Good luck with the Mets tickets. For the latest news, hey, Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Len, the spending bill to keep the government open is making its way through Congress, and guess what? It contains money for the Gateway Tunnel.
But yeah, that's a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah, but don't tell anybody. because it doesn't really specifically mention the Gateway Project, but it's available from several different accounts because we all know the president said he's going to veto it if it has the money in there.
So they're hiding it from the president so he doesn't see it on the bill?
Well, he doesn't read his memorandums anyway. Even if he had capital letters, no money for Gateway.
No,
he
would say,
here's some money for Gateway.
It should say no money for Gateway, and then he would say, yeah, let's have Gateway money. Exactly. Congratulations.
Didn't they say $540
million,
Joe?
$540 million. That'll only allow the beginning of the work right. to begin.
We now know how to deal with Trump. If you want him to go right, you tell him to go left.
Anyway, so that's good news. Police in Austin, Texas say the 23-year-old Mark Condit was a troubled young man. He blew himself up yesterday after causing a series of explosions. The police chief, Brian Manley, says this was not a case of terrorism or even a hate crime.
I know everybody is interested in a motive and understanding why, and we are never going to be able to put a ration behind these acts.
He left behind a phone-taped confession, but they say it really just shows you a troubled young man. Well, people digging out from around the tri-state area after the fourth nor'easter of the month. 8.2 inches of snow fell on Central Park. Parts of Long Island got the worst of this thing, upwards of 19 inches on Long Island. Not the way people thought they would be spending spring.
Terrible. Get tired of the winter. I thought March would be nice and sunny.
All right, things beginning to get back to normal. The three major airports are resuming operations at LaGuardia. Officials say they expect 90% of scheduled flights to get out today, although many posted on these tote boards are reading canceled this morning. FlightAware reporting more than 160 flights canceled at LaGuardia, nearly 140 at Newark, 90 at Kennedy. Obviously, you got to check ahead. And, you know, during snowstorms like yesterday's, governors will shut down government offices, telling non-essential employees they can stay home.
Right.
But these days, people are sensitive.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. Nobody wants to be seen as a non-essential employee.
Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy has issued an executive order to remove the term non-essential when describing state employees that don't have to go to work. He says it has become a source of jokes and bad feelings.
Quite frankly, those designations were unfair and were demeaning to level two employees.
There you go.
So we call them level two now.
Level
That's
two.
Not demeaning at all. No. You're not level one, you're level two. Yeah. That's fine.
If you're non-essential, you're level two. If you're essential, you're level one.
Hey, if I get the day off, you can call me non-essential all you want to.
Wow, boy.
I don't know that people are upset by that, but...
Are these level two people snowflakes? Is that what they are?
They may be.
The governor's a snowflake. That's who the snowflake is.
So there you go. You're not non-essential. Right. You're level two.
Hey, we've got our winner for Mets tickets, so let's clear the lines, and let's open up the phones again, because a local politician... wants you to stop smoking, and he wants you to get fined if you walk in smoke. We want to get your thoughts on that. 800-321-0710. Should you be fined for walking and smoking? Plus, your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. But now, let's go to Bernie Vider with traffic.
WOR.
Good morning, everybody. And Len, we have a winner from our 7:30 Mets ticket giveaway.
Congratulations to Frank Abate, Glen Ridge, New Jersey. You'll see the Mets and Cardinals on March the 31st. And coming up at 8:30, a four-pack of tickets for you right here on 710
WOR. And we will be doing the 7:30 Mets ticket giveaway every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And maybe we'll throw in something at 8:30. It's not every day, but maybe.
Could be the four-pack there at 8:30. So.
Could be.
All right, we've been talking this morning about a ban on smoking and walking in the city.
What do you think of that?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's the nanny state. But Councilman Peter Koo is introducing legislation that he says is an attempt to keep secondhand smoke away from pedestrians, because he doesn't like to be out there when he's walking down the street and somebody's walking in front of you and they puff on the smoke and that right. cloud of smoke envelops you. Can't stand it because you're outside. We're banning smoking. Banned it from restaurants and bars. Okay, I understand enclosed spaces. Bloomberg banned it from beaches and parks yeah. and whatnot. Now Koo, Peter Koo, wants to ban it from the outdoors entirely.
Well, he's a councilman from Queens. He's also runs pharmacies, so obviously he's into health, I guess.
Yes.
And he made these comments to our friends at Fox 5.
My bill is very simple. Just no smoking while walking on New York City sidewalks.
Yeah, there you go. Simple. No smoking while walking.
All right, so if you light up and you don't move, you That's can't fine. Be fined. But no. if you take one step, you're going to be fined $50.
What if you take half a step? There's a cop there.
You're fined $25. Half a step is $25. A full step is $50. Anyway, is this the crazy nanny state? I mean, if you're a smoker, don't you feel like you're under assault if you're a smoker now? Don't you feel like they're turning you into a criminal? Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Should we ban smoking and walking in the city?
I think we should ban smoking completely.
You know what you are? You're a fascist. You want to ban things you don't like, Len. Ban it. Regulate it. Restrict it.
Smoking's good for
ban
you?
It. Smoking's no,
good
but
for
people
you?
Should be free to make decisions that might not be good for them. Who are you to determine how somebody should live their lives,
well,
okay?
People tell you to drive your cars 55 and to wear seatbelts. They'll tell you not to smoke. It'll kill you.
Well, let's hear what George has to say. George on line one from Staten Island. Good morning, George.
Yeah, how you doing? Love your show.
Thanks, George.
I have a mother that smoked for 42 years, and she must have spent 30,000 packs of cigarettes. You got to take a look at her today. She's pitiful looking. She's walking around with oxygen. She can hardly move. She can hardly make a step without an oxygen machine hooked up to her. These people, they're young right now, and they don't realize what their future is going to be like. They got to give up smoking. I agree. Ban cigarette completely. Cigarette smoking should be banned completely. It's not good for you. It's killing people.
I agree, George. And I happen to agree with you. Yeah,
we know it's not good for
you. Money, you're spending money on packs of cigarettes. Send it to kids with distorted faces so that they can have nice smiles.
All right. Thanks,
no
George.
Smoking and save the elephant, man.
All right, so he thinks they should be fined. How about Tina in Stamford, Connecticut? Hey, Tina, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Tina.
Morning. I think it must be so frustrating for the police thinking their efforts and the efforts of the courts have to be taken up by the crime of smoking rather than looking around for terrorists. I can avoid smokers, but I don't know how to avoid a terrorist.
Good point,
Tina. You know what you do, Len? You're walking down the street, someone's smoking in front of you, the cloud of smoke comes your way, you wave your hand in front of the face, and the cloud of smoke goes away. It's not that complicated.
What if you smack the cigarette out of their hands? Do you think
you should be arrested for assault.
Yeah, I guess
you should be arrested for assault.
I get it.
All right, let's hear from Daniel on line three from Valhalla. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. I'm actually at work in the city, but this smoking thing... Well, one of the things we can say is, like, there are things that we used to do 20 years ago that aren't cool to do today. That's probably where they're getting their ideals from. But I don't like smoke, but this ban is it's reaching. Personally, I think it's reaching for something. I don't know what the hell they want.
Well, Daniel, I'm not sure it's going to go through. I mean, just because you propose a bill doesn't mean it passes.
No.
And then the governor has to sign it. So,
but Len, I mean, you're an old reporter. But you're an old reporter. You must remember the days when you'd walk into a bar with fellow reporters and everybody smoked. Did it drive you crazy back then?
Smoke always drove me crazy.
Really, even when you were a young reporter out there hanging out with some of the old guys.
I never hung out with reporters. Really,
really. You didn't hang out with journalists.
I wasn't a newspaper guy. TV guys, nah.
TV guys smoke, don't they?
I would think not as much as the old crusty newspaper guys.
Oh my God, they smoked all the time. Yeah,
your beautiful smile. How about Joe in Port Chester? Hey Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you doing, Joe?
great. Thank you. You know, it's almost like discrimination. I'm a smoker. I don't want to smell exhaust. There's certain perfumes that get me crazy. I smell them. I have as allergic asthma. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to stop everything for people that have rights? I mean, I have a right to smoke. It's still legal.
It is still legal.
It
is. You're absolutely correct. But according to Peter Koo...
My bill is really simple. Just no smoking while walking on New York City sidewalks.
There you go. No smoking while walking.
What about people who wear that, like, gross cologne? Some guy walking down the street that smells Old Spice? Find him if he smells like Old Spice, I got to say.
Over-perfumed. $50. But this is goofy, though. You take a step.
That's it. Half a step, $25. $25, half a step. Absolutely ridiculous. So, but you think all cigarettes should be banned. Outright ban on cigarettes.
Tell me one
redeeming... They should be like drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs are illegal. Cigarettes should
be
illegal.
Now that you ask me, tell me one redeeming value about cigarette smoking. It's bad for your breath. It's an offensive habit.
Well, it also causes lung cancer.
It can kill you.
Yeah, well, people,
so tell me something redeeming
people
about
have
it.
The freedom to make choices that might not be good for them, but you can't regulate every type of human behavior, Len.
Well, I think I would like to look at that.
All right. Okay. Hey, the Me Too movement is going after a legendary comedian and a former child star. We'll tell you who they are when we return. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR.
After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there, go to school there? Or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? If you were in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002, and have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He has recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Just look him up. How many cases... Over $1 million. Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. If you're a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there, below Canal Street after 9/11, and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125.
And now let's go to Bernie Viter with the traffic.
WOR.
Coming up on 7:54 in the morning, we've given away one set of Mets tickets. We have four tickets at 8:30.
Yeah.
Then at 9:40, the great voice of the Mets here on 710 WOR. At 9:40, Howie Rose will join us.
Yep.
Opening day, 1 week from today, Michael.
Yeah. And also we've got at 8:40, we've got Alan Cumming, a terrific actor. He will be with us to talk about his new television series, and you were a big fan of his from The Good Wife.
He was great on The Good Wife and a Broadway star in Cabaret.
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome.
Alan Cumming, multi-talented guy.
It's a very sexy, sultry performance in Cabaret.
One other Mets note, Sandy Alderson has just been confirmed. Tomorrow morning, the Mets general manager will join us at 7:40. He's the guy who puts the team together, Michael, and we'll see. He's got all these pitchers. Let's see if they're healthy, and we'll get his insight tomorrow morning. Sandy Alderson at 7:40. Now, were you a fan of the Wonder Years?
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on?
I'm a fan of that song, but I never saw the Wonder Years.
I'll bet you this show has Natalie written all over it. This had to be a Natalie show.
That's a good song, though.
Yeah,
but Wonder Years, very popular. I wasn't really watching much TV when the Wonder Years came on. But Fred Savage, Len, was on the Wonder Years. He's on a TV
Another
series now called The Grinder.
Grinder on Fox, right. And a lawsuit's been filed by this woman named Young Ju Wang. She filed a lawsuit yesterday claiming he assaulted her on the set of the comedy.
It took everything I had in me to be here today and to speak out. I was inspired by the Me Too movement and the women before me, and I'm here hopefully to encourage other women to come forward and speak their truth.
Well, Fred Savage was the little kid on The Wonder Years. He's now grown up, and according to this woman, he's a grabby, touchy-feely kind of guy. TMZ reported this, that Fred Savage. Now, we should say, Len, that he denies assaulting this woman, Youngju Wang, on the set of The Grindr. He's saying it did not happen, but he is swept up in the storm of the hashtag Me Too movement.
Yeah. Natalie, I mentioned a moment ago that this show has your name written all over it, The Wonder Years. Were you a big Fred Savage fan? Big
Loved fan of the show? It. It was a great show. Yeah. Beautiful soundtrack, and it was a coming-of-age show.
And he was a little kid, Fred Savage.
Oh, he was young.
Then.
So what does this make you think when you hear this? Oh, boy. Silence.
Natalie doesn't want to weigh in on the hashtag Me Too.
That summed them up. Here's more of Youngju Wang.
During a taping of an episode, I was attempting to brush off dandruff off Mr. Savage's jacket. Mr. Savage snapped. He yelled at me, told me not to touch him, and he hit my arm violently 3 times. I could not stop crying. I was in pain. I was humiliated, and I was scared.
Violently hit her arm 3 times.
I'd be a little more embarrassed that I have dandruff.
Oh, stop.
My jacket.
You know, nobody at work should have to deal with harassment of any sort.
No, I know.
It seems out of character from
Fred Savage. He's a sweet little guy on the Wonder Years. You know, you don't see him snapping with a temper and lashing out at a woman who's who's dusting off the dandruff on his shoulder.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on
The Wonder Years?
Huh? Somebody should buy him some Head and Shoulders, I think.
It's Robin Williams' story floating around with Pam Dauber.
So Pam Dauber, who co-starred with Robin Williams and Mork and Mindy, which I watched as a kid, she
That's
says...
a great show.
I love Mork and Mindy. It was great.
Fun.
She now says in an upcoming book that Robin Williams, late comedian, loved to joke around on the set and indulged in all sorts of sexual antics. She told this to the writer David Itzikoff, who I know. He's got a biography coming out about Robin Williams. But it's not that Robin Williams was mean or disgusting or a pig. She said she really loved him. They clicked. But she would say gross things to her. She never took offense, she said, but she said he flashed her, humped her, bumped her.
Oh, great.
Grabbed her.
But she liked it. It was
she
good.
Said, you know, it was a different era. It was the 70s. It was always kind of fun. She thought he was joking and harmless, but in the hashtag Me Too era, he certainly wouldn't be allowed to get away with this. Apparently, sometimes he would try to sort of throw her off stride when she was taping a scene by showing up in the wings of the set. He would be naked in front of her.
Well, nice. Good job.
You know. Yeah. And But I got to say, she's not saying that he was a creep, that he was a harasser. She's not claiming he's a Harvey Weinstein. She said he was just had the ability to do this kind of funny, jokey stuff that was fine in the 70s, but she does acknowledge it probably would be inappropriate. Right. And remember, poor Robin Williams committed suicide, age of 63, in 2014.
Well, I guess, you know, he would break wind in her face and stuff like that.
Ew, hey. Now that is the grossest thing
Anyways,
yet.
So Jay Leno was on with Jimmy Fallon last night, and Leno did a little mini stand-up routine.
And a lot of really talented and really accomplished actors have been accused of sexual harassment. Also, Steven Seagal. In fact,
I like that.
I was talking about this yesterday with my Uber driver, Kevin Spacey. That's what we're talking about.
That's a low blow.
Took some shots.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
pretty funny, though.
Leno last night also took a shot at Matt Lauer, who used to be on NBC. So that was...
what did you say about Matt Lauer?
I forget the line, but we'll find it.
Yeah.
Coming up, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg opens up about the data scandal. We'll tell you what he's saying. Also, in the next half hour, your chance at Mets tickets and another chance at $1,000 coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
Your new wake-up call. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on the radio home of the Mets. 710 WOR, the voice of New York.
An iHeart radio station.
It is 33 degrees at 8 o'clock, and good morning. I'm Joe Bartlett, cleaning up today after the fourth nor'easter of the month. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it did leave behind a mess.
A whole lot of shoveling going on.